Hello and welcome to another episode of the Marketing Meetup Podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I am exceptionally pleased that you are listening to this podcast right now. So the subject of this podcast is PR, and we heard a talk from Tash Jones from Kettle Foods, the producers of Kettle Chips and Metcalf's Popcorn, all about how they are using PR to become the Hoover of chips. Or crisps, as we say in the UK. I don't know why I said chips there, really. I'm British. Anyway, continuing, they're on a mission to become the Hoover of crisps, meaning that when someone says crisps, they immediately think kettle. Now, Tash speaks about how they're going about that mission using PR, specifically focusing on how they go about getting PR coverage for new news, or news to just let people know that they're still there. Now, this particular talk was actually blighted by technical issues, as it happens in a live event. So Tash's pictures didn't actually show up in her slides, which, although the live audience did suffer a bit with that, it actually comes to your benefit as a podcast user or a listener, because she actually goes in and explains what her pictures look like. So that's really useful. So this was just an absolutely excellent talk. I really appreciate Tash doing it, and I really hope you enjoy it too. If you'd like anything more from the Marketing Meetup, head to themarketingmeetup.com for blog content and more information about the events, or just come down to the events. We are doing them in Cambridge and Norwich at the moment, and from September 2018, we'll also be starting in London and Bedford, which is super exciting. So I hope to see you soon, and enjoy the podcast.
Hello. Hello. So yes, I'm Tash. I'm from Kettle Foods. I'm here to talk about PR, which my colleagues, there's a couple of them in the audience, they'll laugh at because they know it's my least favourite thing to talk about in the office. So I also look after social media and e-commerce for Kettle, so this makes up about 20% of what I do at the moment, but it's definitely something that I've learned a lot about in the last 2 years that I've worked there. So you may not know this about Kettle Foods, but we have two rather lovely brands and the logos are missing. So I'll tell you what they are. One of them is Metcalf Skinny Popcorn. You might not know that, but that's one of the products we have. And the other one is Kettle Chips. And that's okay. Everyone knows what Kettle Chips looks like. So Kettle Chips, do you know the term generic trademark? Is anyone familiar with that? No? So our goal for Kettle Chips is to make it the Hoover of crisps. So we want people to say, call up their partners at the end of the day and go, oh, we're having a party, can you pick up some Kettle Chips? So we want to be the words that they use for the category. Mm-hmm. So to do that, we have to do some PR. And in PR, there's broadly two reasons to pester people, as I refer to it. Either we have new news, so we've got a new shiny product to show people. We want to tell them about a campaign we're doing. We try and tell them about our TV. Speaking of which, hands up who saw our TV campaign this year? You are not the ABC One audience we thought you were. So things like that, and also to let people know that we are still here, we're still alive. Sometimes we don't have new news, but we want to keep ticking over so we can become that Hoover of crisps for Kettle Chips. And there are many ways to pester them, but I'm going to focus on these four today and give you a couple of hints on how we work with these four ways. I would say that this pretty much works for consumer packaged goods industry, so it's probably not massively relevant, but I hope that there's a couple of kernels of truth that you can take home or challenge me on. And actually, you say about yelling, feel free to yell at me whilst I'm talking and tell me I'm wrong, that's fine. I don't mind about that. So for press releases, I'm missing all my pictures.
That's pretty weird.
So there's a lovely picture of a press release here. let me describe it. And it's got two beautiful new products that we've got coming out, which is Kettle Chips, Patatas Bravas, Paprika and Aioli. and kettle chips, buttermilk chicken and sriracha mayo. So they're coming out in the next couple of weeks. Keep an eye out on Tesco. That's my sales pitch. Sorry, that's also not allowed, is it? But seeing, you see, the picture would have sold it and I wouldn't have had to say it.
Sorry.
That's okay. So for press releases, get to the point and do it quickly. Who, what, when, where, why, ideally all within the first paragraph. People will get bored really quickly. They won't read to the end of your press release. You need to give it to them in the most digestible format possible. And in that, I'll jump across to the bottom one, make it copy-pastable. Journalists can be lazy. Make their job easy. That's really simple. Things like refer to yourself in the third person. So Kettle Chips has launched two new flavours. Not, we are delighted to tell you that we're releasing two new flavours. They can't copy-paste that. And also think about the publications and the websites you want to target. Look for the bylines of the people who are already talking about the topic you want them to talk about for you. So, for example, there is a journalist at The Sun called Fadzana Ali, and she is obsessed with crisps. She is not the consumer goods champion at The Sun, but she is the one where if we send her crisps, we're going to get in The Sun. So you have to know the people that really like to talk about your product, your environment. So that's press releases. With sampling, oh, there's a lovely picture as well. So in this picture, we have an Instagram snapshot from Chessie King. Has anyone heard of Chessie King? So she's got about 400, well, I say about, I know I checked. She has 409,000 followers on Instagram. She's done some bits about body positivity. She's been in Daily Mail, all those kinds of things. And she happens to love popcorn. And it was her birthday this weekend. And here was an example of some sampling we could do that was really tactical and would actually get us some benefit. We know she loves us. It was her birthday. We sent her an exclusive preview of a new product that we have, and she tagged it, put it on Instagram. Fabulous. Job done. That was a box of popcorn, and it got us probably thousands of pounds worth of exposure for that. So really weigh the benefits of sampling. There can be things like, oh, we can send 10,000 samples to the London Marathon. And that's great, and that might be what's right for your brand. And sometimes it's someone going, oh, well, actually, can you just send a box of crisps for my daughter's birthday party? And you get very good at saying no in all kinds of gentle and inventive ways in this job. So things like, if it's a partnership, get agreement on coverage. We said to Chessie, oh, by the way, we're going to be sending you an exclusive, so it would be really great if we could see something from you. And she posted. We also have a lot of people going, oh, we're the Late Late Show with James Corden. Can you send us some things for the green room? People might post about it. So in the 2 years I've worked at Kettle and have been sending things to green rooms, we have not had a single thing. I'm going to start a new rule where we don't get starstruck by who the celebrities might be in the green room, because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We're wasting our time. And they tend to be the ones that are, oh, can you do it by Friday as well? So you're rushing around, putting things in boxes, and you don't get what you need from it. And that sounds overly negative, but I guess the overall theme is make sure the sampling is going to work for you. And then we have press and influencer events. I feel really so here we had an influencer event in the Good Housekeeping Kitchen in London, and we invited, well, the press and the influencers around, and they came and they made their own seasoning for Kettle Chips. So we had a make your own seasoning station. They could choose from a variety of flavours, things like pickled gherkin, flame grilled steak, and mix them together and make uniformly atrocious examples of Kettle Chips. There was not a good one that I tried all night, and there were hundreds of attempts, which just goes to show why we have a chef, because he can do it properly. So there we provided a compelling opportunity for them that they couldn't get elsewhere. We could give them our Kettle Chips as they exist, or we can say, come to us, we'll talk to you, we'll do a little bit of a soft sell, and you also get to make little tote bags with potato stamps. We cut out alphabet stamps and people could tell. It's so adorable. And it was, I know that in terms of our budget, we do have a bigger budget than many, but internally we always, and I guess this is across the board, we always say what a small budget we have. That event cost us £8,000 in total, and we got so much coverage from it on social media that it was well worth doing. And also think of their convenience first and yours second. We are in Norwich. Our crisps are made in Norwich, and we love to talk about that. However, we are not getting these people up to the factory, not for love or money. So we have to hire out this place in the middle of London. I have to drive a giant transit van and swear at everyone in the congestion zone. And then they come along. They come along at things like 4 o'clock in the afternoon as well, because that's when the journalists want to clock off early for the day and can justify it. So they'll come along at your 4 o'clock event, and the influencers will come along at 6 o'clock. So you have a nice long period of time, drop in as well. Don't tell people they have to be there at a certain time, because that scares them. And also finally, make it Instagrammable. There are some Instagram pictures. I'll show you them later.
I'll send
the slides. That's fine. And finally, when we're talking about the big risks, big rewards, PR stunts and activations are the ones that tend to really fall into that category. This is where you can get those vanity projects. This is where someone can go, I now know I'm being recorded, so I don't want to. But you can say, I think that people really care about this giant blow-up balloon with my face on the side of it, and they don't, and you have just chucked thousands and thousands of money, thousands and thousands of pounds down the drain. So really think about why you're doing it. Be clear about your objectives. It may sound fun, but what does it do for your brand? For example, we had someone pitch to us a cement mixer where the bit on the back that rotates was actually a potato. And we had to explain to them about premium brand credentials and all of those kinds of things. And it would have been fun and people would have taken pictures of it, but it just wouldn't have been right for a kettle. And finally, you've got to document it, or you've got to pay someone else to do so, or offer an exclusive to some journalists, because you don't have anything guaranteed when you do these stunts. It's the scariest thing in the world, which is why, mostly, we don't do it. That and money. So if you are going to be spending a lot of money, make sure that you're going to get something from it. Don't take that risk. I know that I'm kind of going against your slides earlier in terms of... But when money's involved, really, really look at it. And I recommend you look at prexamples.com, because they have some really good examples and terrible examples of PR stunts that people have done. Ones that have got great amounts of coverage and ones that have got a lot of campaign week, PR week, pats on the back and nothing from the mainstream press. And that happens a lot as well.
Is that a whole picture?
This is a video. This is a video. It's okay. So we do have an agency that helps us out with a bunch of stuff. This isn't something we did, but it's something they did for one of their clients, which is Badger Ales. And you probably have seen this, even if you didn't see our TV advert, which is, it was a ultimate beer shed. Does that ring a bell with anyone? Yeah, a couple of people, good. So that was actually the most shared piece of content, branded content, in the world last year, which was this beer shed that they'd created, which had everything you needed to have the ultimate barbecue, with slide out tables, rotating dart boards. It had its own pumps as well, so you could pull your own pints, with Badger branding everywhere. And they obviously did a really good job with that. It was expensive, but they tapped into something. And when I look at PR events, PR stunts, there are three things that I think can make it work for people. One is make something that people wish they could experience for themselves or have for themselves. The other is to make people laugh, and another is to make people cry. If you can't do any of those things with your content, and you have to create content from it, then it's probably not going to work. Like this video. So for PR stunts, it's all about balancing bets. The size of idea versus the likelihood of success. So the take-home messages, you can see that I started with the cheaper things and slowly got a bit more expensive. PR can scale to whatever the budget you have, but you do need to make time for it. The benefits aren't always immediate, and sometimes relationships take a while to build. Chessie was happy to share that example at her birthday party because we'd already done a partnership with her last year. So we've built this relationship with her, and she's now one of our go-to people to create content with. And there still is a space for traditional PR, but there has to be a digital element. And the final take-home message is, if a tree falls down in a forest and no one films it, uploads it to social media, tags it hashtag tree down, hashtag timber, hashtag lumberjack life, did it even really fall?